Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Thursday Shear at the Young Israel of Woodmere. So today's Shear is sponsored. Amy and Jay Haino are sponsoring a Daf Yomi and Day of Learning. Lezecher Nishmat Jay's mother, Elsie Haino, Maras Alta Ella, Bas Reb Tzvi Hirsch, Allah HaShalom. The Yard site is Chaf Gimel Av, corresponding to August the 20th. And we hope that the neshama will have an aliyah in the schus of the Divrei Torah that we will share today. And we thank the family very, very much for their sponsorship of these Divrei Torah as well. No sound. Okay. Thank you. I forgot to unmute myself. Okay, so just a calendar reminder, calendar heads up. This is the last year in the summer base medrash program. Well, my last year, I don't know about anyone else's schedule, but as per Rabbi Shai Schechter, this is my last year in the summer base medrash program. There is no year August the 25th, and there is no year September the 1st. So this year resumes on Thursday, September the 8th. Okay, this is the final year till Thursday, September 8th. No shir August 25th, no shir September 1st. Then we have shir in September, Be'ezer Hashem, 8th, 15th, 22, 29. 29 is special Aseres Yemei Teshuva shir, and then we break to the end of October. Okay, so the next shir after today is Thursday, September the 8th. We should all be well, Be'ezer Hashem. Okay, so let us get right into our learning. A little confusion with finding the room, where we're supposed to go. So it's a few minutes after I like it to be. Try and start on time. So let us get right into our learning, please. Okay, so I'm going to begin in Parachas of the Book of Devarim. This week's Parsha is Parshas Ekev. It's a very, very beautiful parsha, like all the parshas of Devarim that Moshe Rabbeinu composed so eloquently, so movingly, so beautifully. We begin in, or we will just look at Parachas, which is one of my favorite prakim in the Chumash, just in terms of the poetic language and the stirring beauty of the words of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Devarim Parachas, Kol mitzvah asher anochi mitzavcha yom tishmun la'asos, all the mitzvah that I command you today should be on guard to do, l'man tichyun u'revisem u'vasem v'yirishtem es ha'arts asher nishba Hashem l'vasechem. I'm not going to translate every pasuk. For those of you sitting here, the Chumash has the English. If you need it, please look along. It really reduces the impact of the beauty of the lashon of the Torah in translation, and I also do not have time to translate the whole parak as well. Pasuk Beis, V'zachartas kol ha'derech asher holichecha Hashem Elokecha zer 40 shana b'midbar l'man anoscha l'nasoscha l'das es asher b'levavcha ha'tishmer mitzvosav imlo. You should remember the way that you went, and God afflicted you and he tested you to know what's in your heart. V'yancha v'yerivecha v'yachilcha es haman asher lo yadata v'lo yaduna v'asecha. We were fed on man to let you know, kilo al halachem levado yichya ha'adam al kol matzo pi Hashem yichya ha'adam. Your clothing did not swell upon you, your feet did not swell for 40 years, and you should know in your heart, ki kasher yasser ishas b'no Hashem elokecha miyasraka. Hashem treats us like a father who treats his son. V'shamarta etz mitzvos Hashem elokecha l'lechas b'drachav l'yirao. So it's so beautiful. It's so stirring. Moshe Rabbeinu is beseeching us. He's begging us to remember the lessons of the Midbar, to go in the ways of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Hashem is bringing you al Eretz Tova, Eretz Nachli Mayim, Ayanos Usachomos, Yotzim Babiko Bahar. He describes Eretz Yisrael with such beauty and with such love. Here we have in Pasuk Ches, Eretz Chito, Seora, V'gefen, U'te'en, V'rimon, Eretz Zeit Shemen, U'devash. It is a land where you will not eat bread in poverty. You will not lack for anything in this land. And then we have Birkas HaMazon, V'achalto, V'sovato, V'rechtos Hashem Elkecha, Al Eretz HaTov, V'sher Nason Lach. And then we have a warning. So after these beautiful Pesukim can tell us how Hashem took care of us in the desert, and he's bringing us to this beautiful land, and now we have a warning. He Shamer Lecha. What is the warning? Pentishkach as Hashem Elkecha. Lest you forget Hashem your God, the vilt yishmar mitzvosav u'mishpatav v'chukosav asher anochi mitzavcha hayam pentochav v'savata. Lest you forget God, you will eat, you will be satiated. Uvatim tovim tivchna v'yirashta v'yishavta. Sounds like us. You'll be eat and you'll satiate and you'll have such a plethora of choices of food and you build these beautiful homes and you dwell in these beautiful homes. V'karcha v'tzoncha yirbiyun v'kesav v'zav yirbiyach. You'll have this car and that car and this apartment and that apartment and this silver and this gold v'chol. And everything you have just increases and increases. And when that happens, v'ram levavecha, your heart becomes haughty. V'shachachta es Hashem elokecha. The more we have, the more tendency there is to forget Hashem, your God, who took you out from the land of Egypt, from the house of slavery, who walked you through this great and awesome desert, with burning fiery serpents and fiery serpents and with scorpions and with thirst. But he brought us rock. He brought us water from a rock of flint. He fed us the man that our forefathers didn't know. So the Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, how could you forget Hashem? If you remember all the good that Hashem did for you, he protected you from snakes and from scorpions, and the Anani Akavod levied the hills and the valleys, and they protected you from the enemy. They protected you from the sun. Your feet didn't swell. Your clothing did not grow out of you, or you did not grow out of your clothing. If you remember all the good that Hashem did, how could you forget Hashem? But if you forget Hashem, v'amarta b'vavacha, you will say in your heart, kochi v'otzem yadi asali asachayel azeh. You run the risk of forgetting God so much that you think the strength and might of my hand made me all of my success and all of my wealth. It's because I am successful. So what is the antidote? You must remember the Lord your God. We think that it is me. I am great. I am successful. I am smart. I am powerful. I make good investments. I make the right choices. You have to remember that everything is from Hashem, and He gives us the koach to make this great wealth and this great might, in order to establish the covenant that He swore to your forefathers like this day. And you forget Hashem and you go after other gods. I testify against you today, you will surely be lost, unfortunately. Okay, so we have here a very beautiful parak, very beautiful admonishments and reminders on Moshe Rabbeinu. Today's shir is going to be based on a piece by Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks from the Sefer, Essays on Ethics. And it is a very, very beautiful piece, and I readily admit, maybe silly, but I admit there's so much to learn. Can I know? I sort of discovered Rabbi Sacks after his patira. After the Batira of Rabbi Sacks, I started to learn his works, and there's someone here who reached out to me a number of weeks ago after my Mizrahi, World Mizrahi Shir. She said, I'm so happy you started teaching from the great Lord Rabbi Jonathan Sacks. So let us learn a piece, and I'll be bringing additional insights based on Rabbi Sacks, based on this passage and these psukim in Paraches. The essay is entitled, The Power of Gratitude. And he begins with a fascinating study. In the early 1990s, so I'm going back, it's hard to imagine, the 1990s seems like it wasn't so long ago. When you actually calculate the decades, it was a long time ago. Like, how long ago was I actually born? Not in the 90s. In the early 1990s, one of the great medical research exercises of modern times took place. It became known as the Nun Study, Nun like N-U-N. The Nun Study. Some 700 American nuns, all members of the School Sisters of Notre Dame in the United States, agreed to allow their records to be accessed by a research team investigating the process of aging and Alzheimer's disease. So this is a nun study of 700 American nuns, and they allowed their documents and papers access to the researchers. They were researching the process of aging and Alzheimer's disease. At the start of the study, the participants were between the ages of 75 and 102. Now, I'll tell you that yesterday, I mentioned it in last night's shir, if anyone was in the Shaarei shir last night, I mentioned last night that Wednesday afternoon I lecture at the Nautilus Retirement Community in Atlantic Beach. So there were two birthday girls yesterday. The first one I knew because she was wearing a tiara that said happy birthday. So I said to Melody, the director of recreation, oh, it's her birthday. So Melody, she was in her wheelchair, her aide was next to her. Melody said, yeah, she's 111. I said, what? She says, yes, 111. She says about the other one, she's young, she's 95. And the 111-year-old, Kanainahar, left in the middle, her aide, took the wheelchair out of the lecture. But that 95-year-old, what's the expression, sharp as a whistle, Kanainahar? She loves lecture. She was giving out pekalach for her birthday. I went over after to wish her a happy birthday. And she had three lollipops in a rubber band. She made a pekalach, three lollipops in a rubber band. And she reached into her walker. You know, it has like a basket by the walker, a pouch, yeah. So in there she has this bag, and the bag is full of these pekalach. And she told me how many she made. She made to give them out. So she gave me a little bouquet of three lollies. Mamish 95, I have a picture with her. And so with it, so nicely dressed, she says, loves lecture. She asked me, are kids all geniuses? In other words, because she really appreciates lecture. I said, no, really, they're kinda smart, but they're just regular children. I said, I'll share with my kids. She says, oh, so I'll give you another one. So she reaches into the pouch to give me another pekalach. She's 95 years old, Kanainahar. mamish. I said, Rav Mir gesagt, I should be in a Torah lecture, giving a pekelech for my 95th birthday. Okay, at the start of this nun study, the participants were between the ages of 75 and 102. What gave this study, says Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sachs, its unusual longitudinal scope is that in 1930, the nuns, who were then in their 20s, had been asked by the Mother Superior. So in the 1930s, these same nuns were asked by Mother Superior, who I don't know exactly who that is, but to write a brief autobiographical account of their life in their 20s and the reasons for entering the convent. Why did they enter the convent? Why did they choose to enter the convent? These documents were now analyzed many years later. So if they were in their 20s, 70 years later, by the researchers, using a specially devised coding system to register their essays. Among other things, they noted positive and negative emotions that were found in what they recorded in their autobiographical sketch from their 20s. By annually assessing the nuns' current state of health, the researchers were able to test whether their emotional state in 1930 had an effect on their health more than 60 years later. Did their emotional state in their 20s affect their health more than 60 years later? They all lived a very similar lifestyle during these six decades, so it was a very cohesive group. They therefore formed an ideal group for testing the hypotheses about the relationship between emotional attitudes and health. It's frightening, especially for someone who's a pessimist or a fearmonger or a negative person. The results, which were published in 2001, were startling. The more positive emotions, contentment, gratitude, happiness, love, and hope, which are all very, very much Jewish-focused emotions. In Yahadus, we focus on contentment. Ezehu Ashir Hasamech Bechelko. To properly translate that, as a wealthy person is someone who is content or satisfied with his portion. It doesn't mean happy like you attend, you know, the Thanksgiving Day parade. It means contentment. Gratitude is a key focus of who we are. We are called Yehudim. Chaf Tes Lamed Hey. Leah has Yehuda. And she says, Hapam Oda Es Hashem Al Kein Kara Shemo Yehuda. Happiness, ivdu es Hashem besimcha, bo lefan of birnana, love, ve'ahavta l'ra'acha kamocha, amar Rabbi Akiva, zakal gadol b'torah, and hope, tikva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the very last Mishnah, emesachas yuba. Perches Mishnah Tes, amar Rabbi Akiva, shreicham Yisrael, mi mitar hescham, avicham shebashamayim, and then Rabbi Akiva says, ma mikva mitaher es hatmeim, af HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitaher es hatmeim. So we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our mikveh. Mikveh doesn't only mean pool of water. Mikveh also means line. We're connected to Hashem with an invisible line. And mikveh means hope. So these emotions that were analyzed in this nun study of 700 nuns, assessing their health more than 60 years after they wrote that autobiographical sketch, and they all lived in very similar environments, looked at, and I'm relating each of these to a source in Torah that proves that these are very much Jewish midos. Contentment, avos, perek dal, mishnah aleph, ezu asher semech bekelkel. Gratitude, bereshis chav tes lamed hey, al kein kara shmo yehuda, hapam oda es Hashem. Happiness, ivdu es Hashem, besimcha tehillim kuf, bo lefana birnana. Love, Vayikra 19:18, V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, zekal gadol b'torah. Even last week's parsha, V'ahavta l'shem elokecha, b'chol vavcha, b'chol nafshcha, b'chol meodecha, Dvarim perek vav pasuk hei. And finally, hope, Mishnah Yuma, Ches Mishnah Tes, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the mikveh Yisrael. It doesn't only mean that he is the purifying water of Israel. God is our hope. So this is what they assessed in the nuns. Contentment, gratitude, happiness, love, hope. The nuns expressed in their autobiographical notes when they're in their 20s. The more of these midos, that's my own word, that they exhibited, the more likely they were to be alive and well 60 years later. The difference was as much as seven full years in life expectancy. So remarkable was this finding, it has led since then to a new field of what's called gratitude research, as well as a deepening understanding of the impact of emotions on physical health. We might think there are two different things. I take care of myself physically. We met on a fast walk yesterday. I go for a fast walk. I try and eat healthy. I try and get enough sleep. I don't burn in the sun. So you try and keep your physical self healthy. And then you think it's not connected to your emotional self. So what science has proven is that emotional health and physical health are not two separate ideas that exist in a vacuum from each other, but rather they are very much interconnected. And the nuns who in their 20s expressed love, contentment, gratitude, hope, and happiness more than 60 years later were found to be healthier physically and certainly emotionally than their counterparts. What medicine knows about individuals, Moses knew about nations, says Rabbi Sacks. Gratitude, hakarat hatov, is at the heart of what he has to say about the Israelites and their future in the Promised Land. I was just listening to a shir 2 days ago by Rabbi Zev Lef Shlita. Rabbi Lef says, Hakaratov, which is something that we know and I've taught before, means to recognize the good. And it's something that I've mentioned many times before. It doesn't mean giving thanks. Before you could give thanks, you have to recognize that there's something to be thankful for. Moda, hoda'az, to give thanks. Before you could give thanks, you have to know what you're giving thanks for. If you are not makir the tov, if you don't recognize what's good, then you're not going to give thanks. So hakar sotov doesn't mean say thank you, even though that's how it sometimes translates to little children. Hakar sotov really means recognize that there's been something good, and then you can be moda, you can give hoda'ah. So he said the opposite of hakar sotov is kafui tov. He's the first one who is kafui betov. No one's saying anything. Adam Rishon, all the way back in my Sibarishus. Amina H, Asher Sivisicha, Levilti Achamimena Achalta. So what does Adam say? Ha'isha Asher Nasati Imadi, he Nasnali Mina Eitz V'och. I don't know what I ate. Whatever, I came home for supper. I said, what's for supper? She gave me the fruit. The woman that you gave me, she gave me from the fruit and I ate it. So what does Rashi say? Kan Kafui Betova. God gave him a woman to be an Ezer Kenegdo. And he's blaming her for what he had for supper. Rashi is kan kafui betova. Rabbi Zavlov says, what does kafui mean? It doesn't mean to reject the good. It means to cover up. So I never heard this before. I was just saying to this year, 2 days ago. 2 days ago? 1 day ago? Kafui means yesterday, to cover up. And he brought a proof from the Gemara. When the Gemara talks about if you find chametz in your dwelling on Pesach, so what should you do? You should cover it up. And the word used by the Gemara is kafui, to cover up the chametz. So to recognize the good is lahakir et hatov. The opposite of recognizing the good is covering up. That's what kafui tov means. It doesn't mean rejecting the good. It means covering up the good. Now, if you cover something up, then you're not going to recognize it's there. So that you understand how it's opposite. Hakarata tov is to recognize that something good has been done. But if that good is covered up, then you don't even recognize that any good has been done. Going back to Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, what medicine knows now about individuals, Moses knew about nations. Gratitude, hakarat hatov, is at the heart of what he has to say about the Israelites and their entry into the Promised Land. Rabbi Sacks points out that gratitude has not been a strong point in the desert. And you look at the history of the Bnei Yisrael through their desert sojourn, it's a little embarrassing. What are they always doing? Complaining, kvetching, crying, yelling. Gratitude has not been the strong point in the desert. They complained about lack of food. They complained more than once about lack of water. When they had water, one time it was too bitter, two times they didn't have any. They complained about the manna. God was feeding them from heaven every day. And yet they were v'nafshenu yevesha. Our souls are sick. We're dried up. Milachem akilokel, from this disgusting bread that's so light, it doesn't have any flavor. They complained about the lack of meat and vegetables. Rachanu es hadagash, ernochal b'vitzrayim b'chinim, es hakishuim, es havatichim, es habatzel, es hashum. We remember the buffet of salad that we had when we were in Egypt. They complained about the dangers they faced from the Egyptians as they were leaving. They complained about the inhabitants of the land they were about to enter. They are constantly... Now, instead of just blaming them, We have to take a Musar Haskel and look at our lives and see what our focus is. Which category do we fall into? Those who are Makir the Tov or those who are Kafui Tov? They lacked thankfulness, says Rabbi Sacks, during the difficult times. A greater danger, says Moshe Rabbeinu, would be a lack of gratitude during the good times. And this is what he warned them. And now Rabbi Sacks quotes from Parakhas, which we already went through. Specifically, he quotes Psukim Yud Aleph through Yud Zayin. He shamar lecha pen tishkach es Hashem Elokecha. Levil tishmer mitzvosev, and this chumash on page 984, Parakhas Pasuk Yud Aleph. Levil tishmer mitzvosev, this is what Rabbi Sacks now quotes. U'mishpato v'chukosav asher anochi mitzavcha yom pentocha v'savata. U'vatim tovim tivne v'yashavta. U'v'karcha v'tzoncha yirbiun v'kesev v'zav yirbalach. V'chol asher lecha yirba. V'ram levavacha v'shachachta es Hashem Elokecha. And you will say, Kochi ve'otzem yadi asali es hachayel hazeh. Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks says, a greater danger is lack of gratitude in good times. The worst thing that could happen to them, warned Moshe Rabbeinu, would be that they would forget how they came to the land. They would forget that God promised this to their ancestors. They would forget that they were taken, mishibud l'geula, from slavery to freedom. They would forget that God sustained them for 40 years in the desert. This, says Rabbi Sacks, many times in different essays, he proposes that an idea introduced in the Torah is a revolutionary idea. Especially in ancient times, in biblical times, we are introduced to a revolutionary idea. Quote, this was a revolutionary idea. Now to us, it's so built into our psyche, even if we don't always practice it, we don't see Hakaras HaTov as such a revolutionary idea. We see it as part of our very essence of who we are as a people. We are called Yehudim. We are not called after any other tribe. We're not called after Reuven. We're not called after Levi. We're not called after Zevulun. We're not called after Asher. We're specifically called after the tribe that represents the attitude of gratitude. So for us, even though sometimes it's a challenge to have gratitude, to work on gratitude, it doesn't seem like such a revolutionary idea for us. It seems like something so basic. And yet, Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks says this was a revolutionary idea. The nation's history, this idea asserts, should be engraved on people's souls. It should be reenacted in the annual cycle of the festivals. When we celebrate a Yom Tov, we are reenacting. There are people, I think, Sfardim, you know, they put their matzah on their shoulder and they walk around the table. We should, when we build sukkos, we are reenacting the experience of sukkos mamish, that we actually sat in huts when a kosh baruch hu, there's a machlok, it's huts or ananei kavod, but we are reenacting the experience of what happened. When we have tikkun le'al shavuos, we are reenacting the matzah and Torah experience. So our history should be engraved on our souls and reenacted in the annual cycle of festivals. The nation as a nation should never attribute its achievements to itself. And us as individuals should never attribute our achievements to ourselves. There was a slogan, and anyone who learns with me knows how I feel about both Eretz Yisrael and Medina Yisrael, so my comment right now should not be misinterpreted, but there was a slogan, I think it was after the 1967 Six-Day War, Yisrael betach betzahal. So, of course, Klal Yisrael must do our hishtavos. We must put forth effort, ein somchim al hanes. But it must always be Yisrael betach b'Hashem, Ezram u'maginam hu. Israel trusts in God. He is our help. He is our shield. The nation as a nation, says Rabbi Sacks, should never attribute its achievements to itself. When we start to attribute our achievements to ourselves, that is when we risk running into the problem of what Moshe warns us about here, which is kochi ve'otzem yadi, and that's when we become corrupt. We should never think my power and might of my own hand, says Rabbi Sacks. We must always ascribe our victories. We must always ascribe our very existence to something higher than ourselves, and that is God. And Rabbi Sacks says that this is the dominant theme of the entire book of Deuteronomy. The entire book of Devarim focuses on the reminder We must ascribe our greatness, our success, our conquering the land of Israel, our Be'ezer Hashem, settling the land of Israel, our leaving Egypt, our surviving 40 years in the Midbar, not to the strength and might of my own hand. And translate that today to all the things we do that are successful today. Whether it's your profession, or you're a baker, or you're talented and creative, or you throw a beautiful party, whatever we are talented in today, and everyone has their own talents, I really marvel how you really see that each person has their own talents, abilities, and capabilities, and every person tries, hopefully, to use those to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. But we must know that all of our talents, abilities, and capabilities only come from something higher than ourselves, and that is God. This is the dominant theme of the book of Devarim, and an echoes through the book, says Rabbi Sacks, time and again. I'm now going to quote from my son, Shmuel, in Ayin Hara. We had a family simcha this past week, Baruch Hashem, which is why we didn't have a shir last Thursday, even though I considered giving it. You should know. I even considered giving shir last Wednesday morning. It ended at 11:15. I'm like, I think I could make it if I give shir Wednesday morning. That was a little extreme. I did not. And our Rabbi Shechter told me, yes, we should take off last week, Thursday morning, which was the right decision, of course. So Baruch Hashem, we had a family simcha, so my son Shmuel spoke Monday evening. So when I was preparing this shiur, I spoke at Sheva Brachos Monday evening, and when I was preparing shiur, this shiur, I said, oh Shmuel, I need your Dvar Torah, please. This is what he wrote it. He's 16 and a half, Kanai Nahar. He had just finished 10th grade in Yeshiva Darchi Torah. And His Divrei Torah and Divrei Bracha tie in Mamish exactly to the Shir. So he told me that the whole thing, besides for the Mesillas Yesharim, is from the Sefer Open Your Eyes by Rabbi Kielsen. Okay, so Shmuel learned it and he wrote it, but he made sure to tell me that it is all from the Sefer of Rabbi Kielsen, Open Your Eyes. He's been telling me for like a year that I have to read this Sefer, so it's on my list, and I have read portions of it. And with all the other Sfarim I'm going through, I'm also going through Open Your Eyes. So here we go. This is what Shmuel writes. David HaMelech writes in Tehillim, Ki tov zamra elokeinu, ki na'im nava tehila. Ki tov zamra elokeinu, it is good to make music to our God. Ki na'im nava tehila, for praise is pleasant and befitting. Rabbi Kielsen, in his Sefer, Open Your Eyes, writes as follows. The Pasuk reveals to us the secret to a lifetime of happiness. My child, he's 16, can I know? When a person sings praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he sees the world through a different lens. When our life is focused on one of praise, of Shavach, of Hakaras HaTov, we see the world through a different lens. A lens of being makir, that's the word he used, makir. Rabbi Sacks is talking about Hakaras HaTov. And Rabbi Lef, who I heard yesterday morning, speaks about Kofer Tov, Kafui Tov, and Hakaras HaTov. You see the world through a lens of being makir to the Ribbono Shel Olam, quote, even for the smallest of nisim that he does for us. And he realizes the good. And this will bring us to a place of simcha. What did Rabbi Sacks say? What traits were focused on in this non-study? Contentment, gratitude, happiness, love, and hope. And I brought you a Torah source for each of these. Torah Shebichtav, Torah Shebalpeh. These are all Jewish midos. They are all Torah-based. When a person sees the good and he is makir to the Ribbono Shel Olam for even the smallest of nisim that God does for us, he realizes the good, he will be happy. Mimela, one is drawn with love to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu as much as he could. To enjoy the life that Hashem gave us and to find true simcha in the life that Hashem gave us. He quotes the Mesillas Yesharim. And this he told me, it's not from Rabbi Kielsen Sefer, but specifically from the Mesillas Yesharim. Let me just finish so I don't have to interrupt myself again. So the Mesillas Yesharim writes in Paraches, so Mesillas Yesharim, Kosov, Ba'achas min hadrachim, v'knos hazehirus, hu hahistakus berov hatov, she'akadosh baruch hu nosein im ha'adam b'chol eis v'sha'ah. Mesillas Yesharim writes, how do you know how to acquire chlamida of alacrity? As Rizos, Hahistakus Berov Hatov, look at, pay attention to the abundant goodness, Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu Nosein Im Ha'adam Bechol Eis V'Sha'ah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us at every moment and every time. We must look at the abundant Tov HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us at all times. If we would only recognize how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu showers onto us, we would serve him with all our heart, which relates to last week's parsha, v'ahavta Hashem Elokecha b'chol avavcha b'chol nafshcha b'chol me'odecha. No matter what a person's matzav is, quote, he always has something to be makir tov HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you could look at your life, you could look at your nisyonos, and you could say, this Dvar Torah is very nice, but it's not for me, because I'm currently going through Nisayan X, or I'm currently going through Nisayan Y, or I'm currently going through Nisayan Z, so this isn't for me. But it is for you, because we always, I'm telling to Michal Horowitz, I'm not talking to you, we always have something to be makir tov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for. That's what the Mesilas Yeshayim writes. Ba'achas min adrachim liknos hezrizos hu ha'histakus birov hatov shakosh baruch hu nosin im ha'adam b'chol eis v'sha'ah. Rabbi Kielsen writes in his sefer, continuing, ki semachtani Hashem b'fa'alecha b'ma'asei yodecha aranein. Tehillim, David HaMelech writes, ki semachtani Hashem b'fa'alecha, Hashem, you make me glad through your works, b'ma'asei yodecha aranein, with the works of your hands I will sing, Rina. When you make me happy, Hashem, with your works, on your handiworks, I will sing. We see from this pasuk specifically that when a person feels joy and happiness from the world, b'maaseh yodecha aranein, look around, look at everything the Ribbono Shel Olam does for us. When I walked outside this morning to go to my car, I said, oh my gosh, it's so beautiful outside. I looked at the temperature, 71 degrees, it doesn't feel any humidity, the sun is shining, the trees are green, the birds are chirping, b'maaseh yodecha aranein. When we look around at the world, when we look at the works of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we should sing from happiness. And it'll be misameichas. He quotes Rav Avigdor Miller. Rav Avigdor Miller teaches, if one would delve into this and fulfill it with his entire Avodas Hashem, his whole life would change. His whole life would become one of freshness and joy if we could but focus on being makir tov to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So his bracha, in conclusion, is, we should always be makir to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the tremendous amount of good that he showers and that he gives us, which leads us to a life of real happiness. We should find good in everything. It will cause our lives and our avoda, our entire personality, and the way we interact with one another to be makir tov, and to change our attitudes, and to change who we are. And this Dvar Torah from Shmuel is not so different from many Torah sources like we are learning. Rabbi Sachs even brings us from the Welt, from the world, from the non-Jewish world, this unbelievable, groundbreaking study. Could you imagine, more than 60 years later, their attitudes in their 20s predicted their health more than six decades forward? Since the publication of the Nun study, says Rabbi Laura Jonathan Sachs, and the flurry of further research that it inspired, we know of the multiple effects of developing an attitude of gratitude. Gratitude improves physical health and immunity against disease. Grateful people are likely to take regular exercise and go for medical checkups. Thankfulness reduces toxic emotions such as resentment, frustration, and regret. It makes depression less likely. It helps people avoid overreacting to negative experiences by seeking revenge, which is also from the Torah. Lo sikim v'lo sitar asponei amecha. It even tends to make people sleep better. Everything that Rabbi Sachs is writing here is based on medical science and studies. Gratitude improves our physical health, immunity against disease. We are more likely to take regular exercises and go for medical checks up. It reduces negative emotions, midos, resentment, frustration, regret, jealousy. It makes depression less likely. It helps us avoid overreacting to negative experiences by seeking revenge. It even helps us sleep better. It enhances, here's a surprising and important one, it enhances self-respect. A person who lives without self-respect will not be able to be successful. I'm not talking about gaiva. There's a difference between gaiva and a healthy sense of self and self-respect. Gratitude enhances self-respect. And when we have self-respect, we are less likely to envy others. Because if I have self-respect for who I am and what I have and my talents, abilities, and capabilities, then I am less likely to be envious of somebody else. It builds a better me. It builds a healthier me. When me is healthier, when I am stronger, I'm able to interact better with other people. Grateful people tend to have better relationships. Saying thank you enhances friendships and elicits better performance from employees. Saying thank you enhances friendships and elicits better better performance from employees. I'll tell you, one of my husband's very, very close family friends, lifelong friends. They knew each other since they were both born and babies. So he just gave my boys at the last week's Simcha their belated bar mitzvah present. My boys are 16 and a half, Kanai Nahar. So he said this is embarrassingly very late, but here's the gift. In a way, they were more excited. Not to chas v'shalom say anything about anyone who gave them the present bisman. They were excited about that too. But when you get a nice gift 3.5 years later out of the clear blue that you're totally not expecting, it's a nice bonus. They were a little shocked. So of course, right away, we said, you have to write thank you cards. So my husband texted his friend, what's your address? So he said, why? And my boys are writing thank you cards. He says, save the stamp and we're finished. So my husband said, thank you, but they're not doing it for you if you don't want it. They're doing that for them. We have to be trained to always express gratitude to people in our lives. And through expressing gratitude to people in our lives, we express gratitude to the Ribono Shel Olam. Remember a lot of years ago, someone told me, her kids got married. I remember where we were. I remember what happened. I remember some other people were there. She made a comment that her kids are too busy to write thank you cards. I'm not judging them, even though it sounds like I am, maybe a little. I'll be honest, I don't understand it. I'm not talking about Yotzim in a call. I'm not talking about someone in a life-threatening medical condition. I'm not talking about someone who's in a hospital, chas v'shalom. I'm not talking about someone who can't write. I have difficulty with that. Could be the most generic thank you card. But we are people who are called Yehudim. And if we don't show thank you to Basar Vadam, we will not show thank you to God. And I'll bring you a proof. Rabbi Zev Lef, when he was talking about Akar Sotov and Kafui Tov, quotes a Medrash. The Medrash says, one who does not have gratitude to fellow man ultimately will not have gratitude to the Ribono Shel Olam. Who do you learn it from, says Rabbi Lef? Paro. Because what happens? Shemos Perak Al Pasuches, Vayokom Melech Chadosh Al Mitzrayim, Asher Lo Yada Es Yosef. Vayomer El Amo, Havan Ishak Melo, Pen Yerba. Asher lo yadas Yosef. So what does Rashi say there? Rav and Shmuel. One says Chadash Mamash. One says Chadash Gzeirosav. He did know Yosef, but he just made new laws. He pretended like he didn't know Yosef. Asher lo yadas Yosef. Yosef saved you. Yosef sustained you. Yosef ensured you didn't all die from famine. You don't know Yosef? The same one who says Asher lo yadas Yosef. When Moshe appears on the scene, Shmos Perakei Pasuk Beis, and Moshe says, oh, the God of the Hebrews appeared to me. We're going to go celebrate for 3 days in the desert. What's the first thing Paro says? Paro doesn't say it's good for my economy. Paro doesn't say they're building pyramids. Paro doesn't say maybe we'll negotiate a vacation in 6 months. Paro says, Parakei Pasuk Beis of Shemos, Mi Hashem Asher Ashman Bekolo, Lo Yadati As Hashem, Vagam As Yisrael Lo Ashalech. The one who says Lo Yada As Yosef, Zav Lef quoted the Medrash. I didn't say where the Medrash is from. Probably somewhere in Shmos Rabbah. I didn't look it up when I was preparing the shir. But Lo Yada Es Yosef becomes the one who says, Lo Yadati Es Hashem. When we do not have Hakar Sotov, recognize the good that fellow man, people do things for us all the time. When we don't recognize what people do for us, we will ultimately become people who do not recognize what God does for us. Grateful people, therefore, says Rabbi Sacks, going back to Rabbi Sacks, tend to have better relationships. Now he's talking about between people. Saying thank you enhances friendships. It elicits better performance from employees. It is also a major factor in strengthening resilience. Remembering the many things we have to be thankful for. Listen, it helps strengthen resilience. Remembering the many things we have to be thankful for helps us survive painful experiences. From losing a job to, God forbid, bereavement. I've said it a number of times. Someone reached out to me recently, email, WhatsApp. And she said she heard me say it a while ago. She said it really changed her davening. So I'm going to share it with you. Since Pesach, when we went to the Gedolim in Bnei Brak, Sunday, the last day we were there, and it was recommended to me that I start davening Arvis. So I now daven 3 times a day, Shachos, Mincha, and Marv. So 3 times a day I'm saying Modim. And maybe you heard me say this in the past, but when I say Modim, when I bow down, I think of 3 specific things to be thankful for. And it really helps focus. It's like online in my mind gratitude journal. 3 times a day, I'm saying thank you. I don't verbalize it in my head. Modim anachnu lach. And I think of 3 things. It could be very big things. It could be very small things. It could be Baruch Hashem, we made a chasana last week. It could be the sun is shining and it's beautiful outside. It could be many mornings it is. I slept very well every day. That's true. Thank you. My washer dryer works. Thank you. My son got up quickly to go to camp this morning. It could be the smallest things. Or it could be the very big things. But it helps us focus. It helps me focus, at least, on what I am thankful for in my life. And they always have to be different. They can't be like, you know, you said thank you by Shachris. It's not the same by Mincha. It's not the same by Arvis. It's things to be thankful for, that my husband's Mishnah is on the dining table because he learns Mishnah Yomi when he comes back from Amud Yomi. Small things, big things. Thank you that there's food in the refrigerator. Thank you I had some eating for breakfast this morning. But I really mean it. Think about it. Think about 3 things in your life that you are grateful for. And it's doing a virtual, if you will, tefillah-centered gratitude journal. Remembering the many things we have to be thankful for, says Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, helps us survive painful experiences. It makes us more resilient, from losing a job to bereavement. I am now quoting from, this goes back a number of years ago, okay, you can see what it is, it's 3 pages. This is from before COVID. Rabbi Shai Schechter was in Camp Simcha. And when he comes back from Camp Simcha, he always shares with us some of his experiences from that summer. This goes back a while ago, and I heard him say it in a shir. And I reached out to him and I said, could you please send it to me? And I saved it in a file where I have different external sources that I save because I'm always not sure when I'm going to refer to them in shir. So this was a speech that one of the campers made. See, he sent it to me and I printed it up. One of the campers made one Shabbos in Camp Simcha. Good Shabbos, everyone. For those who don't know, my name is Jess Rosenblum. I am almost 16 years old. I'm from Toronto. I'm a science nerd, dancer, athlete, and animal lover. When I was 10 years old, I began getting headaches, something I never experienced before. This seemingly small symptom soon turned into a shocking diagnosis, an inoperable brain tumor. My life took a 180-degree turn. I went from playgrounds to hospital rooms in the blink of an eye. It felt like my world was crashing around me. It wasn't me anymore. I wasn't a dancer. I wasn't an athlete. I was just a sick kid. My case was complex due to the location of the tumor. My best treatment option was 70 rounds of chemotherapy. During treatment, I was in the hospital more than home. My days consisted of medication and sleep. As I'm sure many of you can sadly relate to, she stood up and she was speaking at the in the Camp Simcha dining room. I felt very isolated. I was too sick to see my friends. I didn't have a strong enough immune system to go anywhere. This was one of the darkest periods of my life. I felt trapped, like I was in a dark, gloomy tunnel from which I would never escape. Shortly after round 9 out of 70 of chemotherapy, I suffered a stroke. I was rushed to the hospital by ambulance. I had an emergency MRI. It showed the chemo was not working and my tumor was growing. The doctor said my only chance was to operate on what they said was an inoperable tumor. I wanted to give up. I didn't want surgery. I wanted to be done. I just wanted to be healthy. My thinking was all negative. It seemed impossible to see anything good. My mother sat me down and she told me she had a very interesting article. It was a scientific study regarding patients undergoing treatment for different diseases and their outlook on life. The results showed that patients with an optimistic, positive attitude had a faster and better recovery. This is from a 16-year-old child. I was willing to do anything that would help me recover. So my mother and I started a gratitude journal. Every night, we would write in our journals. We would write aloud. No, we would write or share out loud what we were grateful for that day, what we valued about ourselves. Rabbi Sacks points out the importance of self-respect, our intentions for the next day, and what stood out in that day. It took 5 minutes, but it made the biggest difference in my life. It helped me realize that every day may not be good, but there is something good in every day. I went into surgery about a week after hearing the news that my tumor had grown. I was already booked to stay in an inpatient rehab for 6 months after surgery. The surgeons were sure I would not be able to walk or talk after surgery. The surgery was a success. They were able to remove 90% of my tumor. I was transferred to the ICU. I remember waking up after surgery. I said hi to my mom. It was a miracle that I was able to talk. A few days later, I stood up and I walked. Another miracle. A few days after that, I was discharged from the hospital and I was sent home. I believe my miraculous recovery was due to my change in mindset. I went from sick and negative to positive and experiencing miracles. If that doesn't make you believe in the power of positivity, I don't know what will. Fast forward to today, 5 years later. This was a number of years ago, so I don't know what fast forward to today is. I hope Ezra Hashem, it continues to be good news. Fast forward to today, 5 years later. I still have my tumor. It's considered chronic, meaning I will have it for the rest of my life. But I am not on chemo. And I still do gratitude journaling almost every night. And I'm back at dance and playing sports. I'm currently training for Team Lifeline 10K run in November. What I ask you to take out of this speech is to try gratitude journaling. Write it or say it out loud. What you're grateful for, what you value about yourself. This echoes so strongly from this child, where Rabbi Laura Jonathan Sachs writes, based on medical studies. What Shmuel writes from Rav Kielsen's Open Your Eyes. Write it or say it out loud. What you're grateful for, what you value about yourself. Someone sent me a number of weeks or a couple months ago a meme. I often don't read memes. I just don't have time at whatever. But this was really good. It said, your mind is a garden. Your thoughts are the seeds. You can grow flowers or you can grow weeds. Chaya Feldstein sent it. And I just think it's great. Your mind is a garden. Your thoughts are your seeds. You can grow flowers or you can grow weeds. All I ask for you, says Jess Rosenblum, is to try gratitude journaling. Write it or say it out loud. So I do it by modem. 3 times a day I do it by modem. I did try once to write it down. It took too long. I know that sounds funny, but I really did. Don't have a lot of extra time. But by modem, it also helps you refocus your tefillah. It helps you refocus. If your mind is wandering, which sometimes happens to everybody, we are not the Gedolei Hador. Even the Yerushalmi Maseches Brachos talks about the different sages who struggled with Kavana. Write it or say it out loud. What you're grateful for, what you value about yourself, what your intentions are for the next day, and what stood out for today. Quote, she writes, it will change your life. So let me share part of my gratitude journal for today. I am grateful from transforming from the 10-year-old who was not expected to walk to the teenager who is training for a marathon. Going back to Rabbi Laura Jonathan Sachs, Jewish prayer is an ongoing seminar in gratitude. Birkat HaShachar begins with thanksgiving for life itself, for the human body, the physical world, land to stand on, hamechin mitzadei gaver, rokal arts almayim, eyes to see with, pokeach ivrim. The first words we say every morning are moda ani, thankful am I. Gratitude also, and he quotes a different source, he quotes the Rabbi Eliyahu Spira in his work Eliyahu Rabba. However, I've heard this and saw brought down by the Abu Daham in many sources. Rav Salvechik quotes it in the name of the Abu Daham. Rav Mordechai Kamenetsky in his Parsha Parables quotes it. The Abu Daham was a 1300 Spanish commentator who's most famously noted for his commentary on the Siddur. So I'm not quoting Rabbi Sachs inside. I'm just going to share it with you outside. He quotes a different source, but the Abu Daham writes this, and that is that by Chazar Sashatz, the prayer leader can recite the whole tefillah for you. But when it comes up to Modim Dirabbanan, you have to recite violate it yourself. And the reason for this is, and again, the Rav quotes this in the name of the Rav, the reason for this is because when it comes to giving thanks, there can be no shaliach. A person has to give thanks for himself, by himself, to the one he's expressing thanks for. For everything else, you could have a shlucha sh'adam kamoso. In fact, it's a halachic principle. Okay, you could do mishloach manos through a shaliach. You could mail a letter through a shaliach. You can give tzedakah through a shaliach. You cannot give thanks through a shaliach. And what proves that is that during Modim Dirabbanan, every person is required to stand up on his own and personally give thanks. The pasuk tells us in Tehillim, I unfortunately don't have time to finish the essay. I wanted to finish the essay and bring you even more sources. I always over-prepare. Okay, better than the other way. But I want to start to finish, since I have 5 minutes, I want to start to finish with, I was thinking very much of the pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Lamed Dalet, which relates so strongly to this idea. And David HaMelech tells us in Tehillah Lamed Zalat, Mi ha'ish ha'chafetz chayim ohev yamim lir os tov, nitzor l'shon chamerus v'sachem edaber. Mir ma'yual, know this shur me'rav, asay tov, b'kishan v'rafeyu. And sometimes I think it's punctuated incorrectly. Mi ha'ish ha'chafetz chayim ohev yamim lir os tov. We put the question mark after lir os tov, and we begin the answer with nitzor l'shon chamera. However, we need to punctuate the sentence differently. Mi ha'isha chafetz chayim. Who is the man who desires life? Ohev yamim, who loves days? Question mark. The answer begins with the words lir os tov. Mi ha'isha chafetz chayim. Ohev yamim? Question mark. Who loves days? Who desires life? A lir os tov. I want to quote from the Medrash. I knew this Medrash, but when I was preparing the shiur, I couldn't find it. My kids were there. I said, I can't find the Medrash, but I knew where it was. Baruch Hashem, I was going through my Medrash Rabbah, and I finally found it. So the Medrash Rabbah, Medrash Bereishis Rabbah, and then in the front of my Medrash, on the blank pages, I put a note. So for the next time when I need it, I know where it is. Medrash Bereishis Rabbah. Okay, the Torah begins with Bereishis Bar Elokim. By the way, the springboard for the shiur was from Essays on Ethics, not Covenant or Conversation. Okay, Medrash Bereishis Rabbah, Siman Aleph Parsha Dalet. The Chumash begins with Bereishis Bar Elokim, Isa Shemayim Ve'Isa Aretz. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and earth, Va'aretz Isa Sohuvo, V'choshech Al Pnei Tom, Ruach Elokim Yerachavos Al Pnei Yamayim, etc., etc. Bereishis Bara Elokim. So there's so much to say. But one of the teachings of the Medrash is Bishvil Reishis Bara Elokim Esa Shemayim V'Esa Aretz. For Reishis, Bereishis is Bishvil Reishis. By the way, I saw something fascinating. I don't have time to tell you, but I'm going to tell you anyway. When I was preparing, I don't have the exact lashon here, but I thought this to be incredible. The Medrash says also in Parsha Aleph, why does the Chumash begin with a beis? I thought that this was amazing. A beis is closed on all sides, except the front is open. So the Medrash says, a person should not look up or down or back and wonder what came before me, what's above me, what's under me. You can only look forward. Don't wonder about the past. Don't wonder what was here before Brias Olam. Don't think about God and try and understand Him too much. You can't understand Him too much. A person should always be forward focused, just like the base is open, forwards. That's not what I wanted to tell you for the purpose of today's shiur. Rav Huna, B'Shem Rav Masna Amar. Rav Huna, in the name of Rav Masna, says, B'Zchus Shlosha Dvarim Nivra Olam. In the merit of three things, the whole world was created. There's another Medrash I saw referenced in Vayikra Baba that says Reishis is also Torah. Okay, so B'Shvil Reishis, B'Shvil Torah, Shenikra Reishis, Reishis Chachma, which is Torah. But this Medrash, this source, Medrash B'Reishis Rabba 1:4, says for three things the whole world was created. B'Zchus Chala, Parak Tasvav, Parsha Shlach, Bamidbar, Reishis Arisosechem Chala, Torimu Chuma Lashem, a portion of Chala, which is a mitzvah de Oraisa, mitzvah Tuya Ba'aretz de Oraisa, you give a portion of your Chala as a gift to the Kohen, Bishchus Chala, Bishchus Maisros, for the tithing and all the tithing that we also give. There's a Maiser Ani, Maiser Rishon, that we give the tithing and the Chumos, Ubishchus Bikurim. Parshas Kisavo, Perachavav, it's coming up. Matam, Bereishis Bar Elokim. So what is the meaning of Bereishis Bar Elokim? Ein Reishis Ela Chala. Reishis is Chala. De Oraisa, Chala is a mitzvah, Hatliya Ba'aretz. When we keep Chala today, it's only a Derabanan. First of all, we're in Chutz Arts. Second of all, there's no Beis HaMikdash. We're not giving it to the Kohanim. I'm not telling you not to do it, chas v'shalom. So just be aware that it's a deoraita mitzvah tliya ba'aretz. Okay? Ein reishus ala chala. Says, like the pasuk says in B'mivra Tesvav, reishus ariso sechem chala tarimu truma Hashem. So chala is called reishus. The world is created for reishus. The world is created for chala. Ein reishus ala maisos. Heich da'at amar, like the pasuk says in the Varim pasuk ches, reishus de gancha. So the first of your grain, you should give to the kohen. You should give a gift of truma. And finally, ein reishus ala bikurim. Reishus is bikurim, because the second pasuk says, reishus bikure atmascha. The first of the bikurim of your fruits, and we're going to come up to it soon in Kisavo. For these three things, the world was created. So perhaps, what is the lesson in these three things? So it was very interesting. When I was preparing Shira, I was reading a very lengthy essay. There's many different interpretations as to what these things represent. It was very, very beautiful ideas into what all these three things represent and why the world was created for them. But one of the answers is that all these three things represent gratitude. So I was thinking to myself that challah, by the way, challah, the mitzvah of challah is in Parsha Shlach. Right after the spies in Bnei Yisrael rejected the land, Perakim Yud Gimel and Yud Dalet, the Torah comes along in Perak Teshvav and gives us the antidote to the sin of the spies. The Torah comes along and says, they rejected the land. You should embrace the land. You should love the land. I'm giving you a mitzvah, Tliya Ba'aretz. This will be the tikkun for Chedem Aragim. So Challah teaches us gratitude for Eretz Yisrael. Maisra, Chuma and Maisra, teaches us gratitude to the Kohanim and Leviim, who are our teachers, Yara Mishpatecha Yaakov, Visarascha Yisrael. So challah, we could say, is gratitude for Eretz Yisrael. The spies rejected Eretz Yisrael. The people hated Eretz Yisrael. Hashem says, I'm going to give you a mitzvah to focus your gratitude on Eretz Yisrael. Challah is called reishus. Truma and Maaser is called reishus, which is gratitude to the Kohanim and Leviim, who are our teachers of Torah. Yoru Mishpatecha Yaakov, they will teach you Mishpatim to Yaakov, Visoroscha Yisrael. That's the role of the Leviim, Kohanim. And finally, Bikurim is gratitude to the Ribbono Shel Olam for the Shivas Haminim. Shivas Haminim are in this week's parsha. We looked at it in Parashas Pasuches. Eretz Chito, Se'or, Vegefen, Uteiniv, Rimon, Eretz Shemen, Udavash. So these three things all represent different aspects of gratitude. Gratitude for the land itself, being a sovereign people in our own land, Yisrael Batach Bahashem, as a Mumaginim Hu, gratitude for those who teach us Torah as the conduit for the word of Hashem to come down to this world, and finally, gratitude for the great gift that is the Holy Land, the Shivas Haminim, specifically the bounty of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore, for these three things, which represent Hakaras Hatov, for Challah, Truma Maisar, and Bikurim, the whole world was created. Thanksgiving is as important to societies, concluding with Rabbi Sacks' final sentences, even though I had to skip in the essay. I'm going to end. Thanksgiving is as important to societies as it is to individuals. It protects us from resentment and the arrogance of power. It reminds us how dependent we are on others and on a force greater than ourselves. As with individuals, so too with nations. Thanksgiving is essential to happiness and essential to our health. So we hope that the neshama of Maras Alta Ella, Bas Reb Tzvi Hirsch, should have an aliyah neshama in the schos of these Divrei Torah. I just want to give you a calendar reminder.